From NPR News, this is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. According to the Justice Department, there are 25,000 gangs and more than 750,000 gang members in the United States. Today, the House Judiciary Committee will consider a controversial bill to curb the growth of these gangs. The Gang Deterrence and Community Protection Act of 2005, also dubbed the Gangbuster Bill, would allocate more than $380 million to prosecute gang members and institute strict minimum sentencing for those convicted of crimes. But the legislation has come under attack by some who say the bill looks to lock up young men and women who need help and does very little to change the conditions that cause these gangs to turn to violence. Here to help us better understand the dynamics of the gang problem in the United States are David Mulhausen, senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation and a former analyst with the U.S. Senate Committee on the Judiciary, where he specialized in crime and juvenile justice policy, and Jim Brown, founder and president of AmeriCan Foundation, a former all-star running back of the Cleveland Browns. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for joining us. Mr. Mulhausen, let me start with you and talk about what has become a very controversial piece of legislation, and that is indeed this bill. Many say that this is simply locking up the problem and not solving it. What do you say to that?
Well, I think in some cases we need to lock up the problem, but this bill employs the wrong approach. First off, it's federalizing street crime that's usually handled by state and local governments, and also it's subsidizing state and local law enforcement. It's just paying for the routine activities that which the state and local governments are supposed to provide in the first place.
Jim Brown, I know that you have been a man longstanding dealing with gangs, perhaps the most preeminent person on the ground in the United States. We should note that initially we had J. Randy Forbes, one of the co-sponsors of the bill, the lead sponsor, if you will, and he at the last minute suggested that he could not be on with us today. A lot of people have brought heat to this issue. What's your thought?
First of all, I'm very happy to be on your show.
Thanks,
and
Jim.
So thank you for having me, and thank you for recognizing the fact that I do believe that education is probably the key to solving this problem. The one thing that I can say is that when you have law enforcement dealing with the community in the proper way, that is your best way of curbing violence. The whole concept of gangs is really misconstrued, because there's so many different kinds of gangs. You have gangs that are involved in criminal activity, period. That's all they're interested in, making money and finding ways of making money. You then have the more prominent gangs that are really community individuals. And in those communities, you have what you call gang banging. That's the illegal and criminal activity. So anytime you're going to address something from a law enforcement standpoint, you want to stop violence, illegal, criminal activity. It is not a matter of saying you're going to stop a total gang, because then what you're going to do is pull a lot of innocent people into your net.
David Mulhausen, there are a lot of people who are going to suggest that Jim Brown and others' way of trying to get to these kids early has not necessarily been working, and what we need is this tried and true hammer down on these young people to be used as a deterrent. Do you, throughout your years of looking at this problem, have you seen that, in fact, this kind of policing serves as a deterrent?
Well, I think state and local governments can address this issue. In fact, they did with Boston's Operation Ceasefire. What they did was they sent the police in to work with community members. They identified gangs. They went to the gangs and said, look, if you continue violence, we're going to come down and crack down on you. When the gangs did commit violence, they prosecuted them, put them away for lengthy sentences, and gang crime substantially decreased in Boston during the 1990s. And it was done through a collaborative effort between police departments, the community, parole and probation services, and the religious community. So you need a multi-strategy, sustained effort through political will, and just increasing federal penalties is not the solution. It's much better for the state and local governments to handle this issue than the federal government to come in and subsidize and take away the responsibility of state and local law enforcement.
Jim, how much do you see? Go ahead.
Gentlemen, an example of collaboration is Sheriff Baca in Los Angeles have addressed community organizations and have utilized them in a particular situation of violence inside one of their jails, where there were riots between Latinos and African Americans. And by engaging American in the community, we were able to research the problem, take a multicultural group in there with an educational program, not only stop the violence and the riots, but was able to educate individuals and even break the racial barrier. On the other hand, Chief Bratton tried to bring in an individual from Boston to come into L.A. and more or less become an information source to the police, and that have only exacerbated the problem, in our opinion. So a lot of it is, I agree, has to do with collaboration between law enforcement and the community, but not necessarily from the law enforcement idea of just giving information and then arresting people.
Jim, I also know, because you and I have talked about this throughout the years, that you believe many people who are setting the stage for trying to correct this are doing so without ever coming in contact with these young people, literally directly talking with them and trying to find out the elements that cause this kind of antisocial behavior.
Yes, it would be totally impossible to stop this culture just through anything that Congress would pass that would bring more police officers, et cetera, because one of the human factors that is not utilized is that policemen have not developed in these poor communities the right kind of relationship so that the community have the faith in them. In so many cases, the communities are suffering from gang activity or violence, but they're also suffering from policemen who are insensitive. So the human factor has to be a consideration, because you have basically the black father that's missing in so many of these communities, the broken homes, the lack of job opportunities, and the persuasive culture, which is a culture that deals on gangsterism. The rap music is a part of it. The dress style is a part of it. And it's a young people's culture that we can't really describe by just saying, oh, he's a gang member.
Mm-hmm. David Mulhausen, talk to me about what you say to someone who lives in a neighborhood that is besieged by gang violence, drug dealing, and the like, who says, you know what, I don't care at this point. I've been terrorized for years. I want them out no matter what the cost.
Well, I think what they have to realize is that they need to work with the community. They need to work with the police departments. They need to work with the various agencies that can address this issue and stand up to the gangs. And that's going to take some personal risk. But it comes a point where people in society have to say enough is enough. It has to stop. And that's the first stepping stone that you have to cross.
Jim, let me pose that question to you. There are not always Jim Browns in those neighborhoods. And as you know, better than most, there have been some neighborhoods who have literally been taken over by gangs. What do you tell the people who are just trying to live day to day in those neighborhoods?
Well, the people really suffer in a lot of these communities because of gang banging, not gangs, but the gang activities that are basically negative. They are suffering also from the lack of understanding from the government and the police. The conditions in most of these communities are really very difficult, because a lot of our schools are not getting the money so that our kids can go to school and become educated. A lot of the people that are politicians that control these situations don't understand the dynamics of schools and gangs and prisons and how they relate. So what we have is a lack of education on the part of those who have the power and the money. And, yes, there are victims all over the place. And one thing I'd like to say to both of you gentlemen is that I'm not an advocate of gang activity at all. I deplore that situation. Mm-hmm. But through the means of engaging in education and equal and opportunity, we have been able to, on the west side of L.A. in the last 2 years, cut the homicide rate down to basically zero. And that is through the efforts of dealing with individuals who want to change their lives around and who can help you change the lives of others. And by doing that, engage their community, wherein the old people feel safer, young people can go to school, etc.
David, let me ask you, as relates to sheer dollars, when you look at upwards to over the course of the years this legislation would take effect, $200+ million. Would you rather see it geared to education and early intervention?
Well, the simple fact is that a lot of prevention programs don't work, and the people running the programs or the funders of these programs don't try to measure where they actually work. The federal government has spent millions of dollars on a program called Gang Resistance Education and Training, and it's been known to be a pretty bad failure. It hasn't deterred drug use. It hasn't deterred gang membership, but it continues to receive federal funds. And so we need to look at what works, and focusing on the individual in such programs called multi-systemic therapy has shown a lot of promise through random trials in reducing delinquency. And so that may be a program that other communities should think about adopting when they identify somebody as a potential person who may join a gang or is already in a gang.
Well, not that he needs any kudos, but I have seen Jim Brown work it firsthand, literally sharing space in his home when he and I and others met with some of what I think would be described as hardcore gang members. Jim doesn't turn away from this, and he's been very serious about this for some years. And, Jim, I just want to salute you personally for doing it and not just doing it to get kudos, but doing it because you believe in it.
Well, actually, you know, as we talk on the program, you have scholars and you have gang experts. But basically, our problem is really not gangs. It's human beings yeah. that have bought into the fact that you can be a criminal or you can have self-esteem by doing negative things. And when there are no basically opportunities to better yourself based yeah. upon the fact that if you go to prison for a year, then all of a sudden you can't get a job, you have no yeah. transitional periods of things going on.
All right, Jim, I got to hold you there. I'm up against the clock. But,
That's
all right, Jim. That's all right. David Mulholland, Jim Brown, thank you very much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.